This morning, we will talk. We already started talking about the GPS, the God Person Social. And I told you that we have understanding and transforming your spiritual health. That's what the GPS is all about. And I told you also that we have the 9 essentials. I encourage you all to take the GPS inventory. By now, you would have known where you are spiritually, and you would have known what we are working on to increase our numbers, to make for more spiritual wellness. And so the next slide is telling us the 9 essentials of spiritual health, of spiritual well-being. The very first one is the quality of our attachment to the Lord. How much attachment, how strong is your security in Jesus Christ? And under it, we have the 3 sub-factors. One is trust, another is communicating with the Lord, another is that feeling, is God really close to me? Am I near? Do I feel that God is near to me whenever I call? And then we have the rest of the factors. The second one is level of our self-differentiation. And in differentiation, have I forgiven? Am I forgiven? Have I even forgiven myself? And after that, we're going to talk about ability. What's the next one? Ability to regulate our emotions. How is our emotion? How are we handling it? Are we managing it fine? And the next one is vulnerability. And then we talk about the next, empathy. How are we empathizing? And in talking about empathy, we'll talk about listening to others. We'll talk about, what's the next one? I can't see this. Feeling what others are feeling, and then how do we respond to other people. This morning, we'll talk about trust. How are we doing? Do we trust in the Lord? What is trust all about? There's this little story. A little boy, a 12-year-old, just came to the father and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I want to tell you something that will relax you." The father was like, "Okay, now, yeah, go ahead, please." "Yeah, can I ask you a question, Dad? When you get into the airplane, do you know the pilot?" The dad was like, "No. No, I don't." "Yeah, but when you get in, you relax, right?" "Sure." "Okay, can I ask you another question, Dad?" "Oh, yeah, sure." "When you get into the train, you know how long the train is? Do you see the train driver?" "No." "Do you know him, though?" "No, I never met him. I didn't even see his face." "Yeah, but you say in the train, and you're relaxed." "Yeah, sure." And on and on. What about when your car got spoiled and you entered the bus? You go in, you relax. So if you can trust your life into human beings, one that you didn't even know, that you've never met, that you didn't even see their face, but you get in, you relax. How come that you do not trust the owner of your life? Why?" The dad was like, "Can you please leave me alone, please?" "No, Bob, you know, I was just trying to tell you so you can relax." "Dad, can you relax about life? Because the owner of life, the controller of life, the manager of life got your back. Just chill out." So what is trust? In Hebrew, trust, the word trust is bitach, meaning taking refuge in. And then you go to your computer and just type trust. What you can see is that trust is simply just putting yourself, leaning on, and just believing in, having faith in, trusting in something or someone, and believing deeply into your heart that this somebody or something is reliable. I know that, you know, I'm being really vulnerable here, though, but, you know, I was discussing with Anita when I was bringing her from school, and I told her, you know, my sermon today is about trust. And yesterday I got the shockest thing of my life, shocked. I mean, it shocked me much more than the death of my husband. And I remember I told you I didn't know my husband would die until he died. But this one, shocked my life that the first thing I did was to go to the bathroom. The next is that I didn't have appetite to eat. I ate about to 5 in the evening because of the shock. Somebody, I called my very good friend from college many, many, many years ago. We graduated 83. And we went into college 79. And we've been close. And before I went into college, I was already engaged to marry. I told you all the story about my brother that refused that we will marry until after 8 years. So, but anyway, we were friends, this guy. And so, you know, when he got married, you know, we became friends, you know, with the wife and all that. So he called me yesterday and said, I didn't hear from you anymore. Since you came back from Nigeria, I haven't heard from you. Are you okay? And all that stuff. And I told him, I called him severally, but the phone was, you know, it's not reachable. It switched off, you know, with Nigerian problem anyway. We talked. And I told him, you know, when my nephew, who is my son, died, I called you too because it really pained my heart. And so on, and he encouraged me, and I told him, do you know, you won't believe, I was angry. You know, I told my people, you all leave me alone. Take care of this burial, because everybody is waiting for me to do everything. I've been the only one taking care of this man, his wife, the first wife, the second wife, taking care of everything. I am tired. That's what I was telling him. I couldn't believe I was so mad that I was telling them, my hand is not there. I will take care of these 3 little girls all by myself. He encouraged me. And I was busy doing this sermon. So I continued walking without him knowing that his phone was still on. He talked to the wife. He said, glad. Just ignore Glad. She's always talking about, I don't have money. You know, and then she kept talking, you know, she couldn't even send me some money. And yet we are friends. You know, ordinary $200. Why can't she afford? And the wife said, yeah, it makes no sense. You know, she's just calling. And they kept talking. And I forgot to turn off my phone, but when I heard I started listening. Jesus Christ, have mercy. I wouldn't even start talking about, there's no drug, I'll send money to him. Not my relative, nothing. I have trillions of people to take care of. It shocked my life so much so that I rushed to the toilet. Because they kept talking and kept talking. Me? What? And he came to me the last money that I sent to him. I had $50 in my account. This is the truth. And that's the last money that you have in Chase checking account. And after I thought, he said, "Glad, you know, I don't have money, you know, I haven't called because I didn't have money to buy credit." Immediately we dropped the phone. I went to the account, took $10 out of it to send to him to buy credit. And Chase Bank immediately said, your account is less than the minimum required immediately. Do you know that he didn't even call back to say thank you to him? What is $10? Oh, glad send me $10. Why? And he didn't know that I had to dip into the least, the minimum requirement to be able to do that. So they were talking. It shocked me so much. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, this is somebody I trusted so much. I don't even know how to describe this. I don't know how to describe it. What it did to me. Trust. Hey, my son called and I was like, "Hey, Ike, how are you?" My son said, hey, mom, hey. That's the way your voice is. What happened? What's going on? What happened? What happened? And I didn't even know it affected me so much. Trust. Do you trust God for real? Honestly? There is nobody that you can trust that will keep to his promises than G-O-D. You trust in other things? You don't put your whole trust in him? People will disappoint you. When I told my son, I couldn't hide it. He was saying, "Hey, tell me, what's going on? What's going on?" And I told him. He said, "This person that you've been sending money to?" "Yeah." "So will I go and steal to send him and the wife?" The wife is a professor in a school, in a college. I know I will call his attention to it tomorrow. I said, let me just relax, prayed about it. I said, "God, I'm sorry. Whatever that made him feel like I have to break a bank to take care of him, I don't understand. But however, I am sorry. If I caused anything, help me to forgive him on the spot. If I don't, God will not forgive me." And I say, "Lord, I forgive him. Please help me to be joyful when I remember his name. However, for his own sake and for the sake of the wife, I will call his attention to it." But do you know that God will not do that to you? God will not bite you at the back. He will never do it. So why can't you trust him? Why can't you believe that he can be your Lord and Savior? Why can't you accept him into your heart? Why can't you say, "Lord, I surrender everything to you"? He knows the end from the beginning. Jesus said to the woman, "You know, the water that I'll give you, this beautiful water that I'll give to you is special. It will get into you, relax into you, and bubble out. That's the water that I will give to you. That's the water Jesus is promising you and me. Can't we trust him? It will bubble, it will gush from within and come out to water other gardens." So, what's the source? When the woman heard it, the woman said, "Okay, now can you give me that water?" Can we this morning say, "Lord, I want the water. I can trust you, because when you trust Jesus Christ, he gives you the Holy Spirit that will bubble from within and out." That's what he does. Are you willing to say like the woman, "Please, sir, let me have this water. So the source of the water has to be checked. I don't know where your source of inspiration comes. I don't know where your source of strength comes. I don't know where your source of attachment comes. Let it come from the right source. If it comes from the right source, it will flow like it's flowing right now. You just open the tap. The real water will come. The water that will make you never to be thirsty again. The water that will make you even say, Lord, I come to you. Lord, I am worried. Lord, I am crying. Lord, because he is your daddy. He is your Lord. He loves you so much that he will not betray you like my friend did betray me. But it's so good that it will happen because my prayer partner, my twin sister, my son, they are the three people I talked to. And then this morning, I talked to Anita. Those three that, you know me, you know what they said? You trust too much. It has been your problem. That's the issue that you have. And we've been telling you, be careful. Be careful how you just relax before people. But we can relax before the Lord. That's a good thing. We can. We can be vulnerable, just open, just relax and sleep. Because he cares so much. Will you ask for this living water today? It will come. But the question is, I don't know if your heart is clogged. The water is trying to come in, but your heart is not ready to get it. There are so many things inside, black stuff inside your heart. Flush them out. Allow the water to come in. Let it drip. Let it drip. Let it just find its way. The reason is that if you block it, it will not be able to gush out. And so many are waiting for it. So allow it to flow. Just whatever is in this heart, let it go. Whatever, I don't know what it is. Where have you put your attachment? Come out from there. Let's look at the case of the Israelites. Oh yeah, you know, Moses, we told you, we have been telling you, leave us alone. No, but you haven't been telling him to leave you alone. You were the one that cried when the Egyptians were messing with you. Yeah, but we told you, leave us alone. It's better for us to die over there. No, it's not better for you to die nowhere. It's better for you to die in the hands of the Lord who has you. And so they came to the Red Sea. They talked, like many of us do. We all murmur, we all, you know, say stuff. But Moses already experienced trusting in the Lord. Can you all relax and see the salvation of the Lord, which he has today for you? You all just relax, please. Because of the faith of Moses, because of the trust that he had in the Lord had mercy on the Israelites. But the good thing about the Israelites is that they also trusted. Do you know that it's not easy when the water parted for them to even step in? It's so scary to step in. I mean, you're seeing this big sea, and then somebody is saying, oh, it has parted. What if I put in, and then the water comes back? What happens? So they still trusted. So my question is, can you have that little trust to step in? Even if you doubted before, that's fine. God understands. God understands me. When I was so confused yesterday, I didn't even know what to do. I just knelt down and I said, God, I don't know how to handle this. This brother John? I'm sorry, not this John. His name is John too. Yeah. So how? Can you have that little faith to say, Lord, you know what? I step into the dry land, trusting that the water will not come back to drown me. Let's do that. And we can do that today. In the midst of the storm, God will become our security. Let's talk about Peter walking in the sea. Let's talk about the two disciples. You know, Jesus called them, hey, can you follow me? Just leave everything. Come to me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And immediately, Simon Peter and Andrew left their nets and followed him, trusting him so much that he meant well for them. They followed. You know that Jesus is calling you today. Surrender to him. Leave your nets. I don't know what nets you have that you need to give up. And then when Jesus also talked to the other two disciples, where are they? I don't remember the other two disciples. They left not just the nets, but their own father. James and John, thank you. They left the nets and left their father and followed. Trust. Can we do that today? I hope your net is not church. I'm a member of Memorial Presbyterian Church. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. I'm a leader. I'm a pastor of Memorial Presbyterian. Is that your net? Leave it and get into the net of Jesus Christ. Just leave that worthless. Because you will not go to heaven and God will say, oh yeah, hey, you were a pastor, good job, now get into my kingdom. God will not do that. You know what God will do? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Is your name written in the book of life? And I know that many of us have accepted Christ, and I know that many of us are baptized, and I know that many of us are confirmed. Praise the Lord for it. Put your trust in that God that you have accepted. And he will take good care of you. Peter tried. Oh, bid me to come, Lord. If it's you, just ask me to come. I will. Jesus said, come. He always wants us to come to him. Just, yeah, come on. Just, be, yeah. And Peter did. He tried. Even at a point, he doubted, which you and me do all the time. But that's fine. When we doubt, let's believe again that Jesus is our Lord. And God understands. We should attach to the Bible. We should attach to prayers, to the Holy Spirit to guide us. We should attach to Jesus Christ every day, trusting him that he means well for us, trusting him that the thoughts that he thinks towards us are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. And hope will never disappoint you, never. Trust him, just try. Can you just try, just like Peter did? He tried, at least he tried. Just try and say, God, I don't know you. I'm sure I don't even care about you. However, if you are existing somewhere, can you show yourself to me? At least try. At least try. But for those who have tried and have yielded, you don't have any regrets. I'm telling you. If you know God, you don't have any regrets. Let things happen. Eventually, the Lord will come and hold you very tightly and will speak to your ears. Be joyful. I am your Redeemer. I am here for you. Trust him. And the Bible says, Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. The Lord is your secure attachment. Hold on to him. You will never regret it. Yeah, we're going to listen to this video. Okay, a spiritually healthy person has developed a very deep relationship with God based on trust. That's how you know you're healthy as a Christian or as someone who is seeking the Lord. When you feel there's nobody to trust, the Lord says, trust me. And that's the little song that we sing, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. In all your ways acknowledge him, he will make straight your path. Just some take-home things. When was a time like the Israelites, between the sea and the army, you felt trapped or stuck? How did God lead you through? Think about it when you get home. What are some events that have damaged your ability to trust people or God, like the experience I had yesterday? Who are some people in your life in whom you seek refuge? Do you seek refuge in God? When was an instance that you were heard and felt by another person or people? We all want to be heard. Do you know that God hears you and loves you? I want us to set aside, just practice trusting. Just practice trusting and just practice trusting people and trusting people. However, our main trust is in the Lord. With my experiences today, if I'm not careful, what I will do is like, no more. But I won't do that. I have to be more careful. But with the Lord, you are not careful, you just trust. Go home, trust him. First of all, tell him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, and he will. Let us pray. Oh God, our deliverer, as we embark upon this journey of faith and love, open the way for us for healing and growth. Make a way where there appears to be none. Replace our fears with trust in you, that we may learn to attach our lives to you above all other things and people. May we receive your unfailing love, O God. May we be transformed by it, that your love may flow through our lives into the world. Amen.